Good afternoon, everyone. I thought I would kick off by talking about some of the key risk themes that we're thinking about, kind of bucketed into the portfolio risks that we have, some of the risk disciplines that we use to manage our process and strengthen our risk culture, and then finally settle in and speak a little bit about the macro environment. Starting off with the portfolio, as Jeff mentioned earlier, overall portfolio trends to continue to improve across most sectors in the portfolio. Delinquencies are down or flat. Some are at near pre-crisis levels. Non-earners are down, and non-accruals are down as well. So the portfolio is looking pretty good. We continue to make progress on the mortgage portfolio and the mortgage book. I'll speak to it in a couple minutes with a little bit more detail. And real estate portfolio continues to shrink, continue to work down the real estate equity portfolio, and the metrics in the real estate debt portfolio are getting better. Mark Begor is going to speak to that a little bit later in a little bit more detail. With respect to the risk disciplines, that's how we think about the process of managing risk, the risk culture we have across the firm. You know, we've benefited from significant, tough early actions pre-crisis and during the crisis. That really benefited the portfolio stats as we've wended our way through the process. We're maintaining that discipline, having tight control across the underwriting, the pricing, and the portfolio concentrations we've got. All right, yeah, someone's calling in for the not me. Yeah, see Brian Williams with his fire alarm? Yeah, it's not our building. It should be okay. Let me keep talking over it, and soon you guys will be able to hear. We've enhanced our enterprise risk management framework across the portfolio, and by that, basically, we just mean the way we take a look at risks on a holistic basis. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We have a rigorous stress testing program in place. And you'll see when I talk about stress testing that even after stress testing the portfolio, we've got robust capital levels even under stress. And finally, we've got a risk appetite framework that we've developed. And really what we're trying to do there is state our risk appetite not only across the enterprise but also in our individual businesses to make sure that our risk strategy and our business strategy are very well aligned. So I put kind of an improving across all of the risk discipline work we do. And then on the macro environment, it's been mentioned a couple times. You know, we're all thinking a heck of a lot about Europe. There's a lot going on there in the sovereign banking crisis in Europe. We're actively managing the portfolio, looking at our counterparty risks on a daily basis to keep the place safe and secure. And I'll talk a little bit about our financing activities in Europe directly. Liquidity risk management, as Kathy mentioned, is a key part of our framework to keep us well-positioned for any uncertainty in the markets. And we continue to structure the portfolio in a rigorous way to deliver both for our customers and to keep us safe and secure. So overall, portfolio getting better and a disciplined process in place to ensure that that's the case. So I want to talk a little bit about managing risk differently, and the way I thought I'd approach this is just look at three sort of sectors of our portfolio and talk in kind of a pre-crisis risk and reward opportunity that was out there in the market and what that looks like pre-crisis and then post-crisis to give you a sense of how risk standards have improved and how the opportunities across the portfolio are better. So if you focus in on the mid-market finance section of the portfolio, you can see that the ROI available in that space has increased dramatically from 2% to around 3.5% ROI, while at the same time the underlying credit risk has improved from sort of a B-ish level credit at origination to a B-plus, double B-minus level of credit. And overall leverage at origination on a senior secured basis has improved, going from about 5.5 times leverage to current standards where we're underwriting at a 3.5 times leverage. So better returns, improved risk profile and structuring should lead to better outcomes. On the retail card portfolio, and Margaret Keane will come up later and talk about the retail finance business overall, but if you look there, we're originating at an improved ROI. So again, better pricing is driving an improved ROI. And really importantly, we're getting a better, larger mix of our customers in that highly rated AA-plus sector of the portfolio. So that's grown from 54% of our portfolio in that high-grade originations to over 62% currently. And likewise, average FICO scores have improved from around the 700 mark to almost 750 in the new world. And, of course, as we're focused on the better credits in the portfolio, we're seeing our overall approval rate drop down a few notches from 56% in a pre-crisis mode to about a 50% approval rate now. Mark will talk a little bit more about commercial real estate later, but on the debt portfolio, originations are coming in with a significantly improved ROI from about 1% to 2% ROI. And while at the same time, our underwriting standards have tightened such that we're underwriting at a 75% loan-to-value or less versus 90% loan-to-value in a pre-crisis mode. So with respect to – so better quality portfolio at origination should lead to better outcomes. With respect to process, we've developed an integrated enterprise risk management process for the firm. All that means is we spend a lot of time looking holistically at the risks across the portfolio, not just the credit risk, but the market liquidity risks, operational risk across the portfolio. We've implemented the risk appetite framework with both limits and metrics that support that. And we've put greater emphasis around policy governance, documentation, and transparency to the board and GE. So we think all of those efforts, together with enhanced analytics and better stress testing, will lead to better risk results. If we move on to stress testing, here I wanted to spend a couple minutes just detailing two of the specific stress tests that we run. Now, we run many stress tests across the portfolio. We do it in a systematic way twice a year, and we line that with our business planning cycle. We also will run ad hoc stress tests as and when it makes sense. But focusing on two of the most severe stress tests that we run in the portfolio, we've called one the systemic recession case that we run in the portfolio. And the way we think about that is a deep, double-dip U.S. recession with a recession in Europe at the same time that's a little bit less severe. And that recession would run through the fourth quarter of 11 through the second quarter of 12. In the middle, we describe the idiosyncratic stress that we run. Again, a second severe stress that we run on the portfolio. This is really just designed to take a different approach, different drivers to what could create stress in the portfolio. In this scenario, it's a severe U.S. and global economic recession that runs through from mid-2012 through 2013. And in this scenario, we've imagined that it was driven by an oil supply shock, high inflation, and then rising interest rates to combat the inflation effect. And taking these two severe cases just enhances a view as to what you might think our capital ratios would look like under severe stress. If we drop down into those middle boxes, it's just to give you a sense using economic metrics as to how severe those stress cases are. So on this systemic stress, we look at unemployment at over 13% on a U.S. basis. GDP would drop 2.5% in a 12-month period, and we've significantly hit the housing price index in that scenario. Over on the idiosyncratic case, which develops a little bit later but is more severe, we have unemployment again just about at that 13% level. GDP takes a much more significant hit, being down 3.5% over a 12-month period. And HPI is down, but a little bit less affected given some of the inflationary effects that we've presumed in that scenario. So two different scenarios, both severe. If you drop down to the bottom of the page, you see how we've looked at the expected impact these types of scenarios would have on our portfolio. We've got the metrics there across each 3 years that we run the stress test, both as a ratio impact versus the plan. And you'll see that that ranges from 90 to 100 basis points impact. And then, really importantly, in that column, the surplus versus 5%, what we're looking at there is the surplus of capital we would have, even with that stress on our portfolio, on a standalone basis. And you can see that in each of the variations of the two scenarios we run there, looking at the 5% minimum regulatory capital under stress, we would have between $24 and $30 billion of excess capital. You know, the stress testing exercise is robust. It informs us about what's going on in the portfolio. And again, these are two of the more severe scenarios that we run to give you a view of how we're thinking about this. I promised I would talk a little bit about mortgage. So mortgage portfolio continues to shrink. It topped up over $76 billion, the portfolio at its peak, with delinquencies that were actually just higher than 15% overall in the second quarter of 2010. You can see that the delinquencies have come down materially to about 13.6% in the third quarter, and the size of the portfolio has shrunk, a combination of runoff of the portfolio as well as sales and dispositions. We continue to work this portfolio very aggressively, focused on collections on the portfolio. You can see that the 360-plus accounts there are holding relatively stable as we continue to collect through the accounts. And we've made significant progress on the REO properties as they continue to decline from a peak in the second quarter of 2010, coming down significantly to today's period. The portfolio primarily focused major markets in UK, France, and Poland, where 85% of our exposure is the balance of it, and the rest of Europe primarily. Driving asset sales in the portfolio and driving that portfolio smaller. Small originations in the portfolio generally focused on better credit quality. I said I would speak a little bit about Europe. This is a look at our financing assets across Europe. We have about $132 billion of assets spread across the various businesses in Europe, and we'll focus on the countries to start with. Major market exposure there, UK, France, and Germany, just over 50% of the portfolio where we have exposure in Europe. These are real customers, real operating businesses where we engage in both the consumer and the CLL businesses. You can see that the consumer activity is just over half of the exposure in that portfolio. The commercial loans and leasing is just about 30% of that portfolio, with smaller exposures in real estate and GCAS. Importantly, 85% of that portfolio is secured by collateral. It's well diversified, both on the consumer front and then on the commercial front. That portfolio alone has more than 700,000 customers spread across the countries in Europe. There's really very little sovereign debt in the focus country, with just about $300 billion in aggregate combined between Greece and Italy in that portfolio. Delinquencies have been stable across that portfolio in aggregate, with some offset between some of the weaker countries in Ireland and Spain, showing a slight trend up in delinquencies, offset by improvements across some of the rest of the portfolio. Recently, we've been seeing a little bit of softness come out of Italy, and we expect that that may wend its way through the portfolio as we roll forward. You know, clearly the market volatility that's in Europe has potential for weakness across the portfolio. We think about that all the time. We continue with our rigors around underwriting and risk management in that portfolio to mitigate against that risk. We have a liquidity buffer to manage against any systemic issues in Europe. And as Mike said earlier, we think that, you know, carefully there may be some opportunities here as others exit portfolios in Europe to not only drive pricing, improve risk standards across Europe, and create some potential opportunities for us. Next, I'll turn it over to Bill Carey to talk about growth and business update.